Talk with Dr. Michael Smith, MD. And now, here's the country doctor with a city education, Dr. Mike.
So in this segment, we're going to talk about the role that stress can play in kids and a gastrointestinal syndrome called irritable bowel. Now, children suffer and parents worry when stomach pains, diarrhea, constipation, indigestion, all these kind of things, even bloating, become chronic. And these problems can be disruptive, really, to the whole family. It's not easy taking care of a child with these types of symptoms. And in an age of advanced medical technology, why are so many kids still suffering this way? I guess we're starting to see this maybe a little bit more, this type of irritable bowel in kids. So what role does stress play in developing it? And how can we help kids with it? So I'm here with Michael Lawson. He's a medical doctor, board certified in gastroenterology. He's a clinical professor with the University of California, Davis. And he was also voted the best doctor by the Sacramento Magazine in 2007. And also with Jessica Del Pozo. She's a PhD. She's a clinical psychologist. She manages a lot of chronic issues, specifically pain. And they got together and they wrote a really good book called The Gut Solution for parents with children who have recurrent abdominal pain and IBS. Doctors, welcome to Healthy Talk.
Thank you so much.
Let's start with Dr. Lawson. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what IBS is and how you're defining it, and is it the same in kids and adults?
Great questions, Dr. Mike. It is a little bit different in kids and adults. Kids tend to present more with abdominal pain, nausea, sometimes vomiting. They may have issues like constipation and diarrhea. Adults tend to have more of a bloating issue and gas, but it's part of the same syndrome. Kids, unfortunately, miss a lot of school. They have a lot of stress involved because they feel different to their peers. We see it in about 1 in 5 kids, but interestingly, we see it in about 1 in 5 adults. So we know now that adolescents often present with the complaint and tend to re-present as adults. And we know that at least 60% of kids will become adults with IBS. And I'm an adult gastroenterologist. I'm kind of like Doc in the DeLorean in Back to the Future. I've come back to tell the parents what's going to happen.
Gotcha. Guys, let me ask you this, though. How do you know when you should be concerned about your child? I mean, and let's be honest, belly pain, nausea, diarrhea, bloating. I mean, those are kind of common symptoms for a lot of kids. So when should this become a red flag to a parent?
Well, we've noticed what we call a crisis year. Dr. Del Pozo and I set up a program about 10 years ago, and we've now looked at this crisis year, which means what the kids are doing is coming to the hospital, maybe to the ER or to their physician, six or up to really 30 times a year we have seen this. And this is when the kids are crying out for help, and this is when intervention is important.
So how is it diagnosed then? I mean, is it really just ruling out other things and then you're left with irritable bowel syndrome, or are there tests you can do in kids? How are you making the diagnosis?
Well, it's a clinical diagnosis. You know, kids, if they have this condition for more than, say, 3 times a week, 3 times a month, 3 times, more than 3 times a year, or 3 months of the year, you know that there's a chronic condition that's brewing. And they tend to not show any signs of what we call red flags. They don't tend to be losing a lot of weight or passing blood in their stool or having, you know, daily diarrhea. And usually, you know, you can make a clinical diagnosis. Often, as Dr. Del Pozo is going to tell us, you know, they look very stressed out. They may have some depression even, and it's very serious sometimes in kids. There'll even be an increased risk of suicide in very severe cases. So it's a kind of a heterogeneous presentation, but it's chronic. And so one has to identify that. Now, you know, we can do some basic tests like blood count and what we call C-reactive protein to look for inflammatory conditions. We may also screen for a condition called celiac sprue, which is true gluten sensitivity or an allergic response to gluten. We do have a blood test for that as well.
So based on all that, though, what percent of kids do you think in this country, or I guess just in the developed nations, have IBS and have simply just been misdiagnosed? Because I know, and I speak from experience, Dr. Lawson, here, that when I was doing my pediatric rotation, there was a virus called the rotavirus that was going around the hospital. I got it. It wasn't any fun. And a lot of these symptoms can kind of look like that. So what percent of kids do you think have IBS, and are a lot of them just being misdiagnosed as something like a viral infection?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think at least one in five kids has this condition, probably more. And what they do is they present to the ER, and because they present with an acute abdominal pain, the ER docs, with no access to their previous history, say, well, this is an acute event, and they treat it like gastroenteritis. We do know that some kids will actually develop IBS after an acute infection like Salmonella or Campylobacter, but that's a small percentage, and they tend to get better over time. Kids that we see will not necessarily, they'll improve, but they'll never get rid of this.
Let's move over to Dr. De La Poza now, and maybe you can help us, because you guys in the book talk a lot about the role of stress, right, in the development of IBS. What's the connection there between stress and IBS in kids?
Sure. The stress plays a big role. It isn't the cause, but it triggers the nervous system to respond with that fight, flight, but also a freeze response. A lot of kids shut down and freeze when the stress is whirling around in their bodies and there's nowhere for it to go. And then there might be a big event, or maybe it's just chronic low-grade stress that leads them to do other unhealthy behaviors like skipping meals and then overeating later. That just adds to their whirling symptoms, going around and around, and then they don't sleep well. The anxiety builds up then about the symptoms they're having. So there's anxiety, but then there's anxiety about IBS, fearing that onset of pain. And it's really, so much of it is that brain-gut connection. It's our interpretation of an event that can trigger the gut to respond and lose that nice digestive rhythm. And that leads to a flare-up.
So you think, at least maybe if we're going to talk about, and that's interesting, you say flare-up, so let's make sure my audience understands that IBS can present like that on and off, right? You can have times when you can be symptom-free, something triggers it, the IBS symptoms kind of kick in. I mean, that can happen. And so we know stress plays a role there. But so what's just your opinion about this? Does stress come first causing the irritable bowel, or is there something else, some other pathology that we've missed that's causing the irritable bowel that is causing the symptoms? What do you think is coming first?
Well, that's a great question, and I'm kind of thinking of your previous guest on the show and talking about how our DNA is a blueprint, and then the things, our sensitivities get exposed when we're under stress. So like with diabetes, I might have the blueprint for it, but I may never develop it if I'm living a healthy lifestyle and there wasn't a big stressful event kind of pushing everything over the edge. So I think they kind of come together, and everybody holds stress differently, and the gut is one common place. Other people get headaches, and some people get both, and also back pain, high blood pressure, you name it.
So I know I want to make sure we get the book in here again and a website where my listeners can go and learn more about it and hopefully purchase it. The book title is The Gut Solution for Parents with Children Who Have Recurrent Abdominal Pain and IBS. Is there, Dr. De La Poza, is there a website that my listeners can go to learn more about this?
Yes, absolutely. TheGutSolution.com is our website, and we put a lot of frequently asked questions there, a lot of free information. And to get the whole program, the SEEDS program that we're going to talk about, it's in the second half of the book. The first half is about your earlier questions about the diagnosis and really understanding and being confident that this is what I have before we try to treat something if parents still have a question.
Okay. And is the book available at some of the more traditional places like Amazon, Barnes & Noble, those kind of spots?
Yep, it's on Amazon, CreateSpace. You can order it linked from the website, thegutsolution.com, or from Amazon.
When we come back, we'll talk more about how we're going to do about this. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.